Good morning. Open your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I just wanted to share this while you guys are looking for that. In Jeremiah 1, he was talking to Jeremiah, and he said he's called him to, in verse 10, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, then to build and to plant. So sometimes when we're coming out of these movements, we have to tear down first because we can't have a bad foundation. So we have to sometimes go back, find out where the teachings that we heard were wrong, why they're wrong, and correct that, because we have to tear down. And someone told me last week, they said, I feel like we're coming out of a cult, and it's like every week we get freer. And that's kind of how a lot of us feel. We've been indoctrinated by cherry-picking scriptures. I'm going to continue from where we left off last week. We just don't take a couple scriptures and build doctrines on them, but we have to take the whole counsel of God and not make another Jesus. We have to take the Bible Jesus and the way he says he is. So we're rooting down and we're pulling down. And in Colossians 2, let's look there. We have a lot to share today. And I found a book that's kind of a gold mine I want to share with you guys too today. But in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 8, it says beware. Now whenever there are words beware, you should be on guard. We should, as Christians, I think one of the biggest things that's happened in Christianity is it became popular. It became popular, famous. We could turn on TVs. We thought, oh, good, this is it. We didn't realize that this wasn't the right Jesus. A lot of us are coming to the, wow, you know, where's the suffering? Where's the persecution being talked about? Where's the tribulation? And there's just like this happy side of Christianity that's being preached and proclaimed, and a lot of self-help Jesus. But we have to beware. And today we're going to go into another area of things we need to watch about philosophies. And we're going to talk about the philosophy of what the new thought is and how some of our movements have been coming out of new thought, but they're not called new thought. But you're going to find out today that even in this book, it's called The History of New Thought. This is a secular book. This is not a Christian book. And it says, from mind cure to positive thinking and the prosperity gospel. Wow. Let me say that again. The history of new thought, from mind cures to positive thinking and the prosperity gospel. I just got this last week, and you're going through it for a test, you skim everything, because there's a lot of the stuff in here I don't want to read, but I just wanted to read it pertaining to the church, because at the end, he talks about new thought authors in the new age that we're in, and the prosperity gospel, and you would not believe whose names are in these authors in these books. All the prosperity gospels on TV are in this book, and this is not a Christian book. And so I'm going to quote just a little bit from that book of how they say this is now the newer age, the new face on new thought. And they're not giving credit to new thought. They're plagiarizing their work. They're using the same terms. And this guy was like, this is all in a lot of your churches, you know, and he's not condemning it. He's just saying, you know, thankfully, they're not Christians, but that this message is going out throughout the world in different churches, organizations, and all these new prosperity, positive thinker people are making it more famous. Isn't that something? Yeah. From a secular book, okay? So we're going to look at that. I'm going to give you that so I don't have to carry that around. But let's look, because new thought is called a philosophy. They even call it a loose movement and a philosophy. And it's not just for the world, but it's also in the churches. And it says their philosophies, you don't have to be saved to have these laws work for you. And I say all that to say the Bible tells us of what to watch out for. So when these philosophies, we hear about them, we're like, God told us about this. Okay, we're not going to get what? Taken captive. Let's read it. It says, beware, lest any man spoil you. Now that word spoil, it means damage you severely. People have been damaged severely in this day and hour by doctrines and by messages that they thought were from God, and they're finding out that their roots go back into not only just New Thought, but which is also occultism, witchcraft, and a lot of other things. And we're going to prove this. Now, I've been just little by little studying my way through. When these books come across, it confirms everything, even the same preachers that I've been preaching about. I was like, what a confirmation. God is so good, isn't he? Because he doesn't want his people to be deceived. Okay, beware lest any man spoil you or dangerously damages you, because if it's not the truth, it's going to damage you. Through philosophy, that is what the love of the wisdom, love of wisdom, they're searching for truth. But when you're searching for truth apart from the Bible, it's called a philosophy. So we stick to the Bible, okay? And vain deceit. Be warned, that means watch out, be careful and be cautious, keep your eyes open. Why? Because he said you're going to be hurt through philosophies or the love of the wisdom of this world. And vain deceit, what's vain deceit? It means it's big-headed. You believe something that is not true. It's called deception, false wisdom, humanism. And where's all this taken from? The philosophies of this world? From the tree of knowledge. We're living in the tree of life, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Now, the world is trying to find wisdom apart from God. They're trying to make God work for them. And instead of God's will and following that and submitting, they're decreeing and declaring what their will is. The Bible says in 1 John 5, I think it is, we can ask according to his will. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. Well, these messages and these movements tell us that we know what God's will is and we just decree it and declare it. That's why it's not working, because it's not according to God's will. God's not a genie that can be bossed around in heaven, because we are obeying certain laws that God says he has to obey now because we said it 15 times. Well, the Bible says don't use vain repetition. Amen. Hello? So this is vain deceit, deception, false wisdom, humanism from the tree of knowledge. And what's it supposed to make you wise? And what does it do? It makes you fruitless. You can't bear fruit. People think you're weird. Your kids don't want to serve God because it didn't work for you. Why would they want it to work for them? And also fruitless, long efforts and severe disappointments. This is what happens when we do the philosophies of this world, the philosophies of men. And vain deceits after what? The tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In fact, if you really follow these movements, you have power in your words. You don't need Christ. All the power is in your spoken word. So that right there is wrong, because we are not to be apart from Christ. We live, we move, we have our being in him. And for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are what? You're complete in him. There's a rest. You're complete in him. Aren't you thankful? Okay, so let's get into this. Captive, don't let them spoil you. Another translation says don't let them captivate. Don't be captivated. And we're going to continue from last week about the signs of captivity. How do we know we're being taken captive by false doctrines? To be captive means to be hijacked, taken over, snagged, carried away by philosophy, searching for wisdom. Now, in this book that I just talked about, I'm going to quote some. I just did, you know how when you're studying for tests, you just go through the highlights, you want to find the. I did not want to read that whole book. I just wanted to find out what pertains to New Thought in our churches today and how we can beware so that we don't swallow these philosophies, like he said, and be captive by them. So here's a quote from the book. They're telling you the history of New Thought. And they say, New Thought is both a movement and a philosophy that emphasizes the power of the mind over matter and challenges followers to visualize their way to health and success. Now, this is New Thought. This is not anything to do with Christianity, but does it sound kind of like some things we've heard? Quote still, the idea that the mind can cure diseases quickly morphed into the idea that the mind can cure all of a person's problems. You want a new job? A new house? A new love? According to the preachers of the prosperity gospel, now this is still from them. This is their quote from this heathen book. According to the prosperity gospels, the preachers, not only can we have it all, but we deserve it. Guess what? We don't deserve anything. We deserved hell. But thank God for His grace, His blood, His love. Now on page 221, quote, New Thought writers explain the greatest discovery of the human race. Want to know what the greatest discovery these philosophers found out? Was the realization that humans possess all the power that formerly had been ascribed to God. Oh, wow. Wow, now that's quite a realization, isn't it? Now this is New Thought. Page 233. New Thought appeal, their appeal, was in its get-rich-quick philosophy. So they were, New Thought appeal was in its get-rich-quick philosophy, and we've already talked about Napoleon Hill. He's one of the New Thought writers. I'm sorry if that offends you, but I'm just delivering this teaching. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to offend you because we have been mixed in with New Thought. Now, on page 268, their words, New Thought Today. You ready to hear what New Thought Today is now? The Word of Faith movement. In page 287, quote, the prosperity gospel and the word of faith movement clearly owe a debt to New Thought philosophy, even when they don't identify it as such. They don't claim to be New Thought. Page 254, as a spiritual movement, New Thought Today is diverse and vocal. Now, charismatic media personalities who admit no connection to the New Thought, now listen, this is still, I'm quoting, even as their teachings repeat and rehash the principles of early New Thought principle authors, in other words, they're not admitting that there's any connection to New Thought, even though they're using their words, their terms, whether pushing the power of the mind to cure disease, the secret of wealth and power, or the keys to enlightenment, these celebrities arguably represent the newer face of modern New Thought. They call them celebrities. Christian celebrity preachers have a new face now. It's New Thought under a facelift. He goes into Oprah Winfrey and her friends. Now, if you ever watch her, look at the Christian so-called preachers that are with her on television, no. Page 272, still quoting, this is all from his book. New Thought is a lost term. Healers and empowerment celebrities add their own trademarks for personal gain, whose terminology comes from, even plagiarizes, steals New Thought writers. So he goes in there, he goes, the only reason why they don't want to claim it's New Thought is they want to make money. This heathen book. New Thought writers, but resist being labeled New Thought. And they even blissfully deny of their historical heritage. Okay, listen to this. The theme repeated by the Word of Faith preachers is say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. Or how to write your own ticket with God, which is from New Thought. Interesting, isn't it? So this is from one of their own books. I'm going to go through this article again here from Rick Becker on signs of captivity in a false gospel. We did not get through this last week, and we'll see how far we get. I think I'm only going to go through a couple this morning and we'll pick it up again, because this is loaded. Some would have us believe that the greatest revival the world has ever seen is upon us, but Scripture teaches the opposite. There will be false anointed ones. How can you tell if it's a false anointed one. I'll tell you what, they're charismatic. They can draw a crowd. But you know what they're always doing? They're always begging for money or always telling you that you have to pay for your miracle. There's not one place in the Bible where Jesus commands people to give up their savings account for a healing. You sure find it in this movement. It's a departure from the faith, apostasy, and the doctrines of demons will deceive many, what? Within the visible church. There are a lot of good believers in these churches. There are hungry believers everywhere. And we pray that through the foolishness of preaching, God will open up their eyes to come back to the real Jesus. Come to the true Jesus of the Bible. Now, those within the New Apostolic Reformation, now this is going to be even hard because there's so much preaching against this, which is really the latter rain and new clothes, another facelift. Sometimes you can't even tell the person after they've had so many facelifts. So that's what NAR is. It's so many facelifts from the latter rain movement. You can't tell what it is, but it's dominionism and it's all these other ones. But because they don't want to be labeled as a new apostolic, they won't even put it on their, they put that they're against it. This is the doublespeak that's going on, and this is why people write me and they go, well, we can't find that online. Well, you don't know where to research, but a lot of these preachers that are these new apostles, they don't want to be labeled because they don't want to be found out that they are definitely really latter rain people that was put down by the Assemblies of God back in the day saying that this is total heresy, but they're coming under now the New Apostolic Reformation. Basically what it is, if they don't want to go to the title, it doesn't matter. The fruits are, we are an apostle, we had a visitation. We have something, you know, God showed us that now this is our mission and this is our goal and you cannot debate it. You can, if I have a vision, you can't come against it or you're out the door. They're real adamant about these visions that they have, and pastors have to come under these apostles because they're more authoritative. It's coming back into a shepherding movement some of us came out of in the 70s, but it's now under a new name. So they ignore what Scripture teaches, and they are hoping to be activated by a super apostle and to be part of the new breed. Now, a lot of them are not calling themselves the New Apostolic Reformation. They're calling themselves revivalists. Remember that word, revivalists. They're calling themselves revivalists that will walk through walls. Now, when I first read that, I laughed. I thought, yeah, right. They are actually trying to teach some of their students in these supernatural schools of ministry to walk through walls. Walk through walls, raise the dead. And this is the other thing, as I've studied this movement, some of these names, I'm not ready to tell you because you won't believe it, but they're apostles of faith and all this. And if you look at their history, they never raised anyone from the dead, even though the testimony was all these healings. They didn't have any authentic healings. This is the fruit of false apostles, bad fruit, spoiled lives, devastated people that loved God and were connected to the wrong Jesus. Just like the Mormons. He had a vision. They're little gods. Same thing, these teachings, some of these things are very, very similar, and they're very cultish. We're going to talk about that today, too, cult. Part of a new breed revivalist that will walk through walls, raise the dead, and conquer the seven spheres of society. Now, this is dominionism. It is the seven mountain mandate. It is not new, but it is coming as a new revelation, but it is not new. Okay? Study dominionism. Some people have been writing me, how do I research? There's certain sites that I like, but sometimes I'll just put someone's name in and I'll put exposed. Exposed. And then as you put exposed, some of these articles will come up. And then you've got to, you can't just take everything on the internet. You've got to know, okay, because you can, how many know, anything you have, you can find something that comes against it. So you got to have the ability, people around you, if you're getting flaky, you can get weird, you know, by just going on the, you've got to have a balance. You've got to know that these are good sites. You got to be a Berean. You got to study the scripture. We're not just into conspiracy theories. We're into conspiracy facts. Trust me, there's a lot of facts. And I dig into Christianity to find the truth, but there's a lot of things I could tell you that I'm not going to preach. You wouldn't believe it unless you study it yourself. The things that are going on in the world, the corruption that's in politics, Politicians in itself, it's a whole different, you think Christianity's got a lot of things to go. Start studying the true things about politics. Wow, there's a whole lot there. All that to say, we're not of this world. We're passing through. Our world is coming. Jesus is, we have a place. We're living right now. We have to stand before God for everything we do. We don't add to the Bible. We don't take it away. We're here to serve. We have to keep forgiving. Our heart has to stay right. There's so many things we have to do to walk with the Lord. But our goal is to preach the word. Just preach the word, not our experiences, even though we might have some experiences. We're not here just to preach an experience. Because then other people think, well, why didn't I have that experience? And God must not love me. And why didn't I get a word? Well, a lot of these people are coming to these churches and saying, this isn't prophetic. These aren't prophetic words. This is witchcraft. And it's also just people's minds. Oh, the Lord would say unto you today, you're going to have a fabulous day. Your ministry's going to be blessed. You're going all the way around the world. And you're going to have this, and you're going to have... It's really easy to prophesy and to make somebody else feel good. And trust me, now they're being trained to do it. They're trained to prophesy. Go to schools of these ministries and you can activate your gifts. Well, you know what? You don't need to activate your gift. God needs to do it. And if it's not coming from God, we don't want it. Because there's other spirits out there that will be activated. It's called the spirit of divination, and it's forbidden. But these things are very real, and people are having encounters because they've opened up the wrong doors, and we got to warn them. We got to warn them before they're spoiled. And it's not a popular message. People don't want to hear it. But you know what? Jesus never was popular. So anyways, these deluded folks have not been activated, but captivated by false teachers and false doctrines. Now here again, Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive in philosophies with empty words, empty deceit, according to what? Human traditions. Under the guise of what? Fresh revelation. Oh, I've just come from the throne of God, and God took me to heaven, and boy, I was just done. They're all of these false apostles have these visitations. And all of us young believers would say, oh, wow. That is so far out. That's so cool. And you find out they didn't go anywhere. They're just raising money. They're just selling a book or something. This is sad. But when you look at the true men of God, when they went and had a visitation, the glory of God came. They couldn't even speak. They were fearful. Angels didn't say, hey, how you doing, bud? They fell on their face. They were scared. They were freaked out. They didn't want. I mean, can you imagine? Well, where is that in the Bible? Oh, you're not going to find that. This is a new revelation. Well, watch out. Run. You don't need to sit under any of these preachers that are giving these new revelations. You're going to, down the road 5 years, you're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to be heartbroken like many of the people right now we're picking up everywhere. Under fresh revelations, anointing. Oh, and you got to sit under there because you got to be imparted. You got to have an impartation. New ways to hear from God. There's new ways now. And now you can, we can bring in the new age and the occult. It's not just Christianity. We've lost a lot of things by not being open to other religions and movements. This is what they're teaching. And they're bringing it in. And all these little baby birds are going, okay, I want to have this. I want to have that. I want to have that. And they're totally going outside of Scripture. And their parents are trying to warn them. Now this is where the division of Christianity comes in. That's so sad. Because there's the Christians that want to follow the Bible, and then there's your friends that won't listen to this. They won't listen because they're following a man. We're going to get into that next. Okay, fresh revelations, anointing, impartation, new ways to hear from God and walk in the supernatural. But guess what? The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And another thing is, God doesn't tell you have to give all your money up to get a blessing. This is a great scam for these preachers. This is wrong. Now then there's other ones that I'm preaching to that nobody, because they're trying to restore it, nobody gives them an offering at all. Because they've been so burnt out by this other group that they don't want to help the ones that are. We got to find balance. We're still given to the Lord. But don't be scammed. Don't be, you know, foolish thinking that, oh yeah, if you give a dollar to God, he's going to give you 1,000 back. How many have heard that teaching? well, doesn't the Bible say this and that? That out of scripture, out of context, you can take anything and have it be make sense, but it's not true. Just because they can throw scriptures together and make a doctrine and make it sound good, make you excited. Boy, you're so excited. And then you leave and you go, how come I gave all that money away? I was under some kind of a spirit. I think you should know what you're going to give before you go. You should pray about it and ask. I don't care. These preachers that get up, can I just vent? 2 and 3 offer. I'm sorry, buddy. I know what I'm going to give before. You are not going to control. You're not going to manipulate. I've seen this for 40-some years. Well, I'm not preaching anymore till 10 more people give $1,000. Fine. See ya. I'm going home.
Amen.
People are so manipulated by these charlatans. It's just, and I've had my, trust me, the more I even learned today some more stuff, I was like, I don't know if I'll get to it or not, but new ways to hear from God, okay? The health and wealth gospel, word of faith heresy, false philosophies, traditions, new age doctrines, and mysticism. You're going to hear a lot about mysticism. Have captivated millions in the visible church. Now he goes on to some signs of captivity, and I'm going to take some of his points, and then I'm going to go off on my own. The first one, and we shared this last week, they're captivated. They have compromised truth through pragmatism. Did I say it right? Pragmatism?
Yes.
Okay, so what is this? This is problem solving using logic. These are churches now that want to have big churches, and they're going outside of the way Jesus taught, but they want to have big churches. They want numbers, so they're going to go the world's way. They have studies. They have people knocking on the door. What do you want in church? What can we add that you want? How can we get you? This is a spirit of the world. It's captivated by the wisdom of the world. It evaluates success based on results. If, for example, a pastor wants to grow his small congregation, the fashionable route for him to take would be a church growth seminar. This will give him the methodologies necessary to increase his numbers. And what's sad is a lot of these people have fallen for this. They've increased their numbers, but guess what? The Holy Spirit and God have left. They're not worshiping God anymore. They're entertaining. They're not preaching his word. They're preaching stories. They're teaching. They'll give you a scripture, and then they talk about themselves. It's called narcissism. Successful business models are utilized in the church because apparently pagan entrepreneurs know better than Jesus or the author of Scripture. How many of us have come out of this? All the pastor has to do is water down the gospel. No thanks. Focus on topical and motivational messages. Create expectation. This one guy, he had an autistic son, and he said, I gave $100,000 to another ministry, and my son got healed. So now, you know what that puts on you? It's like, if you want your son to get healed, you better give $100,000. Spoiled. Hurt. People are hurt by these messages. People are being destroyed by these messages. People say, you're getting kind of bold. Well, I'm kind of getting mad now. At first, I was like, I don't want to talk about this. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been under this for so long. It takes time to come out of it. People are mad. People are divided over this. I mean, it's like, this is a big deal. And that's why I'm taking my time little by little, because at first I was like, I don't want to lose people yet because they're going to get lost once we start. No, you have got to know line upon line where you were deceived, why it's wrong, replace it with the truth, find out the real Jesus, get free from this condemnation, get free from these kind of controllers. This is manipulation in the name of God, using the God card. Ooh, I feel his presence here. He's not mad. He says, touch all this stuff. Oh, don't touch the anointed. Well, they're not anointed.
Amen.
Anointed by the devil. I mean, these are from New Thought. I mean, I've got my proof right here from this worldly book with all these preachers' names, and my one was my best friend for 20-some years. I was like, I always knew something was not right. But I didn't know it was New Thought. I didn't buy a lot of it, but there was a lot I did buy. Like all of us, we kind of picked and choose which part we believed. You know, we sat under some of this stuff. Okay, let's get going. God has not given the increase, but a pragmatic approach has. Compromise has grown these churches. Experience and results should never define our theological persuasions. When we exchange truth with what works, we have exchanged truth for a lie.
Amen.
Yep. That's good, isn't it? The fruits of pragmatism in the church are mega churches full of false converts and biblically illiterate believers carried about by every wind of doctrine. That's heavy. Okay, there's one more point I want to get. Captivated, and I've shared this before, but I'm sharing it a little bit different today. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Captivated or serve a personality. Now, we honor and respect people that preach the gospel, or we should. Some don't, but it's gotten to be one of the most hated professions now. People don't like it, but there's a group of people that are just worshiping men. We are not called to worship men. Okay, so this is called, he calls it the captivated to serve a personality. I put cult of personality because it's a cult. It's when a group of people get around someone and lift them higher than they're supposed to lift them. They worship them higher than they're supposed to. They put their words over Jesus' words. That is serving a man. This is what this whole new movement is that these apostles have more revelation. Now, they won't say it at first, but once you get hooked into their teaching, they're going to put down the Bible, and they're going to lift up other spirits. That's why we have to have some of us older ones that have been around for 40-some years to figure this stuff out. Because when you're young, you're so hungry, you just believe everything, and they're like, oh, they wrote books. Like, it's got to be right. They are on TV. They've got to be right. No, but when you've lived long enough and then you start knowing in your Bible, what's wrong with this? This isn't right. So we aren't here to serve man. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, I'm going to go through this fast. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. When we follow men, we're still babies. I fed you with milk, not with meat, because you weren't able to hear it. Verse 3, for you are yet carnal, where there's strife and envy and divisions. Verse 4, while one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? And then it goes on, who is Paul and who is Apollos? So they're just ministers, and the Lord's given them gifts. So we're not supposed to worship the gift. We're just supposed to be thankful that the Lord says, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. But here's, read the whole thing. I don't have time. He says, we're going to be judged. Wood, hay, and stubble. Our works are going to stand before God. So we want to make sure we live on this earth and we're doing it right. And if we've done it wrong, which we've all done, repent, repent, repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I thought that was you. Lord, I gave that away. I thought that was you. Lord, I didn't give. I was supposed to. We're following him, okay? But verse 21, therefore let no man glory in man. Okay, read the whole thing. We don't have time, but the main thing is we're not here just to follow men. We honor, we love people, we serve in the name of the Lord, but when they start preaching things that don't line up with the Bible, it's time for you to exit. Okay, so I know, he says in Acts 20:29, after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, not out here. It's going to come from within the churches. Shall men arise speaking perverse things? Another translation says twisted things. Why? To draw away disciples after them. A cult is a group. I can't even read my old writing. Extreme and dangerous beliefs under a charismatic leader. We all think of Jim Jones. Why did they do that? They followed a man. They followed him into something. What happened? They got captivated. They got spoiled. They got deceived. They disbelieved everything he said, right? God is not getting the glory, the leader is. And another thing with a cult, you can't question them. After all, they've heard from God. Now, we don't need, you know, weirdos that are going to question everything. You have all sorts of people. But I'm talking about good, honest Christians now cannot ask their leader, why are you going into these movements? They get rebuked. They get pushed out. The person travels with personal security. They're not accessible. They're too important to be bothered. I mean, they're anointed. So we don't want to be around, you know, you people. You can't hear from God. You're just little peons. Yeah, we just want your money. Yeah, they treat you like jet fuel. Their speaking and teaching revolves around themselves. It's called narcissology. I'm not even saying it right. Narcissus. NARCISGESIS. Anyway, it's narcissism. In closing, Christian pastors, apostles are servants. They're not rock stars. We're servants. Cults of personalities, guess what? They never end well. They never end well. You can't use God's people. You can't abuse God's people for long periods of time. You think about some of these cults, these never ends well. Jesus died for these people. He wants them to be taught truth, right? He doesn't want them to be manipulated. He doesn't want them to be used. You don't put yourself up and put them down without having to answer to the shepherd. He is the true shepherd. Amen. Father, we pray for all these people that they're hurting. I hear from them. They're hurting. They've been wounded. They've been led down the wrong path. First of all, we've got to check our own heart. We've got to forgive. We've got to move on. We've got to stay in the Bible. Forgive ourselves for what? Not reading our own Bibles to see this ourselves, because we were in the cult of personality ourselves. We thought that they knew more, and we knew something was wrong. That Holy Spirit has always been trying to teach us, but we're thankful to keep our heart right and to forgive and to pray for these people. There's so many even preachers that love the Lord that they're just deceived too. We pray for them to come out, and we pray for these your people, Lord, that have been spoiled by the philosophies of men in this hour. Lord, you're revealing things, and I just pray that people will do their own research and their own studies. This isn't to attack anyone. It's to tell the truth. It's to expose lies and get people back to you, back to loving you, serving you. And if bad things happen to them, it's not because they didn't give enough, they didn't confess enough. We're living in a world where the devil is loose. And the outward man is perishing, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. We are not promised to live here forever. So, Father, I just pray for truth to come and to help us separate the word from this new thought that has infiltrated the last 30, 40, 50 years that I know of our churches. In Jesus' name. And, Lord, we promise to give you all the praise and all the glory. Help people through this YouTube get set free. And everyone said,